Mosur, the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stanzas, even though the bottom stanza is, the bottom stanza is 4 lines here, and then it goes another 4 lines on top. So altogether, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, there are 5 stanzas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stanzas. The first 5 was written by one person in the mid-1200s. The last one, they say, was added maybe in the 1500s, 1600s. What, we don't really know who the author is, but what's his first name?
Mordecai,
right? That's the first letter of the first 5 stanzas. And the last stanza, his name must have been Chazak. The first 3 words are Chazak. See? Chad, Zion, Kuf. Anyhow. Gentlemen, okay, that was the share for today. Okay, now, we say it like this. Ma'oz Tzur Yeshua Si. Ma'oz is a, what is the word, O's?
Strength.
Right, so strength. So Ma'oz is like a fortress. Tzur Yeshua Si. In English, it's usually translated as
the rock of my salvation.
There's a Gemara in Brachas. The word Tzur has other connotations also. When you say Litzayer, Tzur Mishelo Achalnu, right? Did I give a class here on Zemiras? I have a whole set of Shiurim on Zemiras Shabbos. Tzur, besides a rock, maybe, besides a rock, you say Yotzer Or. Yotzer is create. Litzayer is to draw or to form. So it could be, I'm not sure, it could be that Ma'oz, Tzur Yeshua Si, Ma'oz, the stronghold, the creator of my salvation. And Tzur, Tzur is the rock, can be a rock, and therefore denotes strength, but also Litzayer or Yotzer is to create or to form or something like that. There's also a possibility. L'chonai l'shabeach, to you it is pleasant to praise. You have this phrase in Kari Bon Olam about, it's good to praise Hashem. Tikkun beis tefilasi. Tikkun is lachin, to prepare the house of my worship. V'sham toda nizabeach. And there we'll bring a korban toda, nizabeach, or zevach, an offering. L'eis tachin matbeach. At the time that you will prepare matbeach, if you ever learn like Bab Metzia, Hamafkin, Tavach Umachar, when a guy has to pay 4 or 5, slaughter. The time when you'll prepare the slaughter, Mitzar HaMinabeach. Minabeach is a howling enemy. Tsar is one who makes it tight or uncomfortable for me, or my enemy. So at the time you will prepare the slaughter of my enemy, my howling enemy, v'ozegmor, and then I will complete b'shir mezmor in a song of praise, chanukas mezbeach, the dedication of the mezbeach. This first paragraph is a general prayer to Hashem, hoping for that in the future He will get us back to the Beis Mikdash and get rid of our enemies. The next few paragraphs, 1, 2, 3, the next 4 stanzas deal with times in history that Hashem did save us. The last one will be Hanukkah. And the last stanza will be, again, a general prayer for that we hope for the salvation. Ra'os sava nafshi. Ra'os are bad. Sava, what's sava? Achalta v'savata. Oh, so now, usually we talk about satiated. The word satiated usually has a positive connotation, right? I'm satiated after a meal. Here it's in the negative sense. Ro sova nafshi. My nefesh is just full with bad, with ra. Right? Even though you use the word saveya as a usually that has a connotation of good. You're satiated. Here it says my soul is satiated with bad.
I've reached my limit.
No, we're going to see because of the tsars that we had. Biyagon kochi kila. Yagon is grief. Kochi kila. My koach is kila. What's kila? Vayichulu hashamayim v'aretz is finished. Right. My strength is zapped.
That's modern Hebrew, modern English word.
Is zapped with with grief. Chayai meriru bekoshi, my life is embittered in hardships. B'shibud malchus egla, with the shibud. Shibud is what? Shibud? Shibud
subjugation.
Subjugation, right? Enslavement of malchus egla, the kingdom of egla. Egla is a heifer, right? You have an egla rufa, right? It's a cow, right? Pashtus, I always assumed it's because that was probably one of the Egyptian gods. We're going to see, we're talking about Egypt over here. The truth is, after I saw the Malbim, in fact, says that this was an idol of theirs. Also, oh, right, right. In Yirmiyahu, it refers to Egla Yafa Pe Mitzrayim, and right, the Malbim over there says that it refers to the Mitzrayim, is referred to the kingdom of an Egla, because that was one of their idols. Anyhow, Uviyado HaGedola, and with Hashem's great hand, Hotzi Es HaSkula, he took out the Skula, is the us, where the Skula, we're the treasured nation. Chel Paro, the army, like Chayal, right? Chel Paro, V'chol Zaro, and all his offspring, Yardu ke'evan bimtzula. What's that phrase mean? Yardu ke'evan bimtzula. Yeah, this is taken from Oz Yashir. They went down like an evan in the depths. Like they went down like a stone in the depths. Gentlemen, right. How many ways did Oz Yashir does say the Mitzrayim went down?
Three.
One, they went down like a stone.
Lead.
One, like they done like lead. And one, like straw. The worst of them went down like straw. This is the water. You know, and if you're going to die, it may as well go. You may as well drown quickly, right? So the best of the evil Egyptians went down like lead. They drowned right away. Other, the Benonim went down like stones, and the real, real bad ones got slapped around a lot in the water, as you mentioned, straw would before it actually sinks. One little tangent I want to go on. It refers here to the term Am Segula. It refers to Bnei Yisrael as Am Segula. Many years ago, I went, my mother's sister has a friend. She's a professor of English at University of Pittsburgh. I'm from Pittsburgh. And I don't know why, I don't remember why. I was at her house, and she was a very big devoted follower. There was a very famous Reform rabbi in Pittsburgh, Solomon B. Freehoff. He wrote a book called Current Reform Responds, and he actually translated Shilas HaTshuvos from Rabbi Akiva Eger. I mean, the Shilas HaTshuvos that he wrote, or some of it was actually ridiculous. But some of it was dishonest. But like, it's funny, like I don't think Reform rabbis now would bother quoting a Mogen Avraham and a Taz to show why they're doing something. Anyhow, so she told me that Rabbi Freehoff said in his sermon that it's a misnomer, it's a mistake, to say that the Jews are the chosen people, because we are the choosing people, because we get to choose between good and bad. I said to her, do you know that, I said off the top of my head, I said, there are three times in the Chumash where the Chumash uses the term Am Segula. It used the term in the Chumash, my children. And like, it's an amazing thing. Because here this lady was a professor of English, obviously an intelligent lady, and she took everything that he said hook, line, and sinker. She never read the Chumash to see that, in fact, the Torah does use the word treasured people, chosen people, my children, like, which is an amazing thing. One thing that, very interesting that came out of this conversation was, she said to me, she says, you know, she says, Chaim, she said, you know, she says, Orthodox people think they eat kosher, but they really don't. I said, why? She says, you know, you think a can of tuna fish is a tuna fish. She says, you wouldn't believe all the other ingredients there are in a can of tuna fish. I said, wait a second. I was in her house. I said, show me a can of tuna fish. She takes out a can of tuna fish. It's darkest tuna fish, has an OU on it. I said, do you know what that thing is, that symbol is? She said, oh, it's some sort of copyrighted trademark. I said, for what? She said, I don't know. I said, that stands for the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations, And it says that there, that you're right, that there can be many other ingredients, and there are, there is, it's under rabbinical supervision. Like, it was just amazing. Like, she had no idea what I was talking about. It blew her away. She never heard of such a thing. She never heard of a hashgacha and a pranic. Anyhow, but that was my little conversation about Am Segula. But he refers to us, Hashem took out the Am Segula in Mitzrayim. So this is the first of the times that he's going to mention that Hashem took us out. Hashem save us.
Why did he use Evan?
So Lamaisa, right? In Ozgash, there are three terminologies. Either we went to, the Egyptians went like an lead, a stone, or a straw. This is the middle one. I mean, if he would have used one of the other ones. What?
But I think back to Sur. They both mean Evan.
Yeah, okay. This is the only, it's interesting. This is the only other time that I see the, something referred to a stone over here. Devir Kadsho Heviani. What's Devir Kadsho? The Devir Kadsho is the
Torah.
No. Devir Kadsho is the Makam of Mikdash, the base of Mikdash. Devir is the word from the word Ledaber. It's where the holy word emanates. Right? In the Kadshi Kadashim. The Devir Kadsho is the Kadshi Kadashim. Devir Kadsho Heviani. Right, Hashem brought me to the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Gam Sham Lo Shakarati, and there too I was not quiet. We'll see what that means. Uvano Geis Vihiglani, an oppressor came Vihiglani. What's Vihiglani? And well, it's the same word. And exiled me from the word Golos, right? But I'll tell you, you're right. It's revealed, even in modern Hebrew. Well, they used to have. I don't have it anymore. A postcard. In Hebrew, it's called a gluya, because it's revealed. I think when a person is in exile, there's an expression in English, when you're vulnerable, you're out in the open, right? You ever hear that expression, you're out in the open? So I always thought that's maybe the connection between galus, meaning exile, and legal, and revealed. And that's because you're out in the open. When you're exiled, you're not in your home, you're exiled, you're out in the open. An oppressor came and exiled me. Why? Kizorim avadati. What's that mean? Kizorim avadati. Avodah zara. Right. I worship strange things. V'yayin ra'al masachti. What's yayin? What's ra'al in modern Hebrew even? Ra'al is poison. Sometimes you see on the toilet cleaners or something like that, there'll be things in ra'al, not to be eaten. And I poured poisonous wine. What does it mean I poured poisonous wine?
Jewish wine.
No, it's right. For Avodah Zarah, right, they poured, even by Jews, pouring the wine libation is part of the service. So I guess when he says he poured poisonous wine, in other words, not that it was literally poisonous, but in the sense that it was wine that was used for Avodah Zarah. Kima'at shavarti. I was out of there a little bit, right? We were exiled for a little bit of time. How long were we exiled from the first base of Mikdash?
70
years. Then what happens? Kates Bavel, then it came the end of the Babylonian exile. Zerubbabel, I don't know why there are no verbs here. Zerubbabel, who's Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel,
governor of Judah.
He was one of the leaders who brought us back. There's a Gemara that says it was Nehemiah, but it was he brought us back to Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of the 70 years, I was saved. We know, if you learn the Gemara Megillah, that there was a whole big discussion when the 70 years were. Right? All the Goyish kings said, 70 years over, the prophecy didn't happen, let's use the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, and boom, right? That's what happened to Achashverosh, right? That's what happened to Belshazzar, right? They all in the Gemara and Megillah there has a discussion of when the 70 years actually was. Second time that Hashem saved us. Karos Komas Barosh. Barosh is a cypress tree. The Gemara and Megillah says, and in the pasuk of Tachas Hananutz Yala Barosh, in the place of a thorn bush, a cypress will grow. Gemara says that's referring to in the place of Haman, Mordechai will grow up. I think Gemara has a whole drasha why Mordechai is a brosh. So it says karos. So what's karos is from the word
to
cut, right? komas is the height of the brosh, right? Bikesh Agagi Behemadasa. Haman wanted to try to cut down the height of Mordecai. He wanted to chop Mordecai down. V'niyasol l'fachol mokesh. And this became to him as a snare and stumbling block. Right? There was, he had this fixation. I got to get Mordecai. Right? I got to get Mordecai. Right? V'gavaso nishbasa. And his gaiva, his arrogance, was laid to rest. Rosh yimini nisesa. Because Hashem elevated Mordechai, as Ishiminin, right? That's what he says, he's from Shem Ben Yamin. V'oyev Shemo Machisen, you wiped out the name of the enemy. The last six words here, gentlemen, like a little discussion. Rov Banav V'kinyanav Al Ha'etz Tolisa. What does it mean, Rov Banav?
Ten of his
son. What's Rov mean?
Most. But it's not.
So this gentleman says, what do you mean, Rov? That wasn't. He might have shocked. If he had 10 sons, they all went up. It's all of them. And if he had 30 sons or 400 sons or whatever, it's not all Rove. Rabbi Flom, you know what? There's a pasuk in Megillas Esther. It says that, I have it worked out in my notes. It says, Vayisaper Lahem Haman, when Haman goes and tells his advisors about the, how, you know, how life is so bad because of Mordechai. The pasuk says, "Ve'isaper lam Haman es kivod ashro v'rov banav." Rov banav means in his many sons. In the Megillah, and Megillah's Esther means, and then he went on to say, "But all this is not shava for me as long as Mordechai's there." So he himself used that word rov banav, right, talking about his children. So it does not mean his many. It does not mean the most. It means many. Okay. Rov, his many sons, v'kinyanav, and his possessions, al ha'etz talisa. Now, what does that mean? His VCR was hanging on the tree with him? What?
Possessions became Mordechai.
And his, no, possessions.
And it was transferred to Yehudim, no?
So what does that mean, on the, his possessions hang on the tree?
Children.
No, So wait a second. Art Scroll, in fact, translates, like you said, Rov banav. He translated his many children, comma, his possessions, his prized possessions, but our Gersa, and he brings down such a Gersa, but our Gersa is Vikinyanov, and his possessions. So.
Maybe his wife.
Vikinyanov. So I thought, I have a student who said something that was very, very nice. I have a student who said, what would have been had Chas v'Shalom Haman succeeded? His greatest possession, his greatest item in the world would have been his plan to kill the Jews. Right? So this Talmud of mine says, you hung his children in his prized possession. There was this plan to wipe out the Jews, all ended on that tree. I'll answer Lisa. I don't know, whatever, I'm not sure. Okay, that is Mordechai. Now we get to our story. Yevanim nikbetzu alai. The Greeks gathered around me, azai bimei chashmanim, then in the times of the Hasmoneans, ufartzu chomos migdalai, and they broke through the gates of my migdal, my tower, v'timu kol hashmanim, and they defiled all the oil, uminosar kankanim, and from the remnants of the jars, there's that one jar that was left over. Nasa Nes La Shoshanim. A miracle was made for the Shoshanim. Who are the Shoshanim?
Jews.
Why are we the Shoshanim? Where's that term used?
Shushan Habira.
Shushan Yaakov.
Shushan Habira. That's.
Shushan.
No, this is Shoshanim. Shoshan. You want to say. But that's the wrong holiday.
No, it's meaning that he's referring to us Jews who came back from Babylon. From Shoshan Abira.
Ah, but it's a Shoshanim. I don't know.
Shoshanim Amuchir?
Shoshanim. In Shirim, the Jews are referred to as Shoshanim. So I say, now there are many interpretations here, but I say he could be referring to a simple thing. In Shirim, it's used the phrase that a Shoshana Bein Hachochim, right? A rose amongst thorns. One of the Pshatim is that despite all these jagged things around us, we have retained our beauty. That is the story of Hanukkah, right? The Yevanim wanted to influence us with their culture, right? Not to kill us. That wasn't the original plan. They didn't want to kill us. They wanted to strip us of our religion, of our culture, etc. And therefore, the Chashmonaim, who fought to retain the beauty of the Jews without that outside influence, I think that's why the author of Mosur refers to us as the show. The nace was done for the Shoshanim, because one time I says, "Well, you know, it's not the nace of the Shoshanim because that reminds me of Kankanim, right?" But you know, right? But I think, you know, it's an appropriate. As someone said, I said, "Why is he using the term Shoshanim?" Because he says, "See, Kankanim, Shoshanim, it rhymes," you know. Like, anyhow, Bnei Vina, the people of wisdom. Yimei Shmona, 8 days Kavushir Nanim. They set for song and praises of Hashem. Now, why is it called Bnei Bina?
I don't understand.
Bnei Bina means the wise men, referring to the Chachamim. I think Prat is, you know, everyone, you're all aware of the famous Kasha of the Beis Yosef, right? The Beis Yosef, same with Kasha, is if there was enough oil to last for one day, and it lasted for 8 days, why is it an 8-day holiday? There's only 7 days of miracles, right? Famous kasha from Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef on the tour, right? Rabbi Yosef Karo. He gives a few answers to this question. There is a book published, 101 answers to this question. Well, there's a lot of answers, right? He has different pshatim, how since they knew it would take 8 days, so they divided the oil into 8 parts. And then, you know, poured, and then each part lasted a whole night. And one opinion says that he poured an eighth, and it filled up for the whole cup. Others say, Pshat, that just finding the oil was an ace. Winning the battle was an ace. Some say just our awareness that oil burns is also from Hashem, right? There's a nature, right? Is also God's miracle. There are many, many, many answers. So the point is, I think that the reason it says B'nai Bina made 8 days is because if we would have done it, we would have just done a 7-day holiday, right? So that's right. And there's the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, in their wisdom, they said, no, it's an 8-day holiday. And you can read the whole book to see why. Okay. This last stanza is not. This last stanza is Chasof Zroa Kodshecha, stretch out your holy arm, V'karev Ketze Yeshua, and bring close the end, the salvation. Nikomnik Masdam of Adecha, avenge the blood of your servant, May Uma Harashah from the evil nation, Ki Orcha Lanu Yeshua, because the salvation has been so long in coming, Vein Ketzli Meharaah, and there seems to be no end to these evil days, right? Deche Admon, push off the red one. Pashas, that's referring to Golas Edom. I always thought about the communists. Or if you're from Cincinnati, Cincinnati Reds, or whatever it was, you know.
Red Army.
Right. I always said, but Pashas, it's Edom, because this Golas that we're now is called Golas Edom, right? But Tzel Tzalmon means in the shadow of Gehenna. Hakim Lanu Roa Shiva. Gentlemen, I just want to take 1 minute for this. Establish for us the seven shepherds. Even though Sefer HaTodah says seven shepherds refer to the Ushpizin, right? Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, and Yosef, right? There's a Gemara in Sukkah.
Adam.
The Gemara in Sukkah refers to, it's Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, refers to seven shepherds. If they are David, Adam, Shes, Meshushelach, Avram, Yaakov, and Moshe. Rashi says over there, he has no idea why these are the seven. The question that everybody asks is, where is Yitzchak?
And Yosef.
Well, he's in that one list. But where, you have Avram, Yaakov, Moshe, right? Where is Yitzchak? Gentlemen, I want to take 1 minute on this. I have two different mahalchim as to where Yitzchak is. One approach says that, you know, there's a famous Gemara in Shabbos, that Hashem. I'm sorry. The Gemara. I'll say that that Hashem wanted to wipe out Bnei Israel, and Avram says, "Look, if you got to wipe them out, you got to wipe them out." And Yaakov says, "You got to wipe them out, you got to wipe them out." Actually, I referred to this in a Dvar Torah of mine in the email about a couple weeks ago. Yitzchak says, "Ma pitom?" He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "People don't sin the whole time, right? They sleep at night, they eat, they do all these other things, right? And it's only after they're 20 and this and that. Look, and I was willing to eat myself up, and because of that, according to this Chazal, Hashem said, okay, I won't wipe them out, you know, they'll come back." So Yitzchak is higher level. The Aruch Lener says something that would be impossible to say if the Aruch Lener didn't say it. He says that Yitzchak, it's the opposite. Yitzchak is not on this list because he wasn't worthy of being on this list. Why? What's a shepherd? He said a shepherd is someone who takes care of the flock. Someone who knows where the flock is. He says, true, Avram had Yishmael, but Avram was aware of Yishmael's shortcomings. He says, Yitzchak had two sons. One was an Esav, and he didn't know where he was. In other words, according to the Aruch Lener, I'm not saying everyone agrees with this.
Well, did tshuva.
Right. Yeah, but even when before he did tshuva, Avram was aware of what he was. He said, but the Aruch Lener says that Yitzchak didn't deserve to be a shepherd, a roeh, because he didn't know where his flock was holding.
Avram threw out the sheep.
Right, right. And there's Avraham, when something was bad, threw it out, right? Well, because Sarah said so, but Avram was on top of the situation. He said Yitzchak wasn't. This is a mind shot. I mean, according to one shot, it's just the opposite. Yitzchak was way greater. And according to this shot, Yitzchak didn't deserve to be called a roeh because he lost the title of roeh. Okay.
What?
He didn't see the flock. And there was his flock. No, there was, even though Avram had Yishmael, but he was aware that he was bad, eventually threw him out. He said, Yitzchak wasn't aware that Esav was such a bad guy. He wanted to give him the brachas. I mean, that's not everyone agrees with
Pshat. What?
Pshat,
why Pshat is left out?
Yeah.
It's not that Esav is saying that, you know, that let them be.
Yeah.
Really, Avraham and Yaakov are having, they're saying God is not going to destroy them. So they're like, fine, do whatever you want. We know you're not going to destroy them.
Uh-huh.
So they're chesed and emet.
Uh-huh.
So it says, no, you have to punish them.
No, it
doesn't say wipe them out. He said punish them and purify them.
Right, but
don't leave them alone.
Right, but Yitzchak said
and
they're
early.
Yeah.
But don't destroy them.
Alright. Who says